Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Roadshow. I'm your host, Karen Jensen Salisbury. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt stuck? Sometimes you feel trapped, maybe doing the same things over and over. Are you tired of not getting that promotion, not moving forward, maybe having the same old marriage problems or confronting the same bad habits time and time again? Maybe sometimes you feel like a hostage to your own thoughts. Well, today's guest wants you to know that you are one thought away from a change, from what he calls a revolutionized life. His name is Marvin Yoder, and he's written a book called Revolutionary Mindset. We're going to dig into that book today. Marvin, welcome to The Roadshow.
Well, thank you, Miss Karen. We're glad to be here today. It's our privilege.
Marvin and I served together on the staff at Rhema Bible College, so we have known each other a while, although he was the dean, and I'm just a lowly instructor, and now he's an instructor as well, so we go back a little ways. And Marvin, before we talk about your book, give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself.
Well, I grew up in a very traditional church called the Old Order Amish. Some people call it the Pennsylvania Dutch. And we drove horse and buggies instead of cars and pickups and vehicles like that. Because that was our belief at that time. And one of the things that I noticed, though, was watching the cars and vehicles that went by on the county road right beside our highway, and I wondered where they were all going. I'm standing there on the farm day after day. I see this, and I feel like there's a whole world going by, and I'm being left behind.
Yeah.
And I grew up as a kid, super curious, read almost every library book in the school library, and I dreamed of doing certain things, flying airplanes, driving vehicles. I built a guitar. My dad wasn't happy about that, but anyway, we tried a number of things like that, and finally, one day, we did leave and set out to explore the world that I saw, and without very many guidelines, and consequently, I got into a wrong group of people, and for a season, did not live a very good life at all, but it all changed when someone invited me to some meetings. One of those speakers was Pastor Kenneth Hagin, and that was my introduction to him, and I saw something there that he demonstrated that I was fascinated with, didn't know was possible, and in those meetings, we got supernaturally healed of some things that the doctors did not know how to deal with, and so consequently, we ended up giving our life to the Lord and pursuing the will of God, ended up becoming a student at Rhema, and over the years, we're privileged to work at Rhema in various capacities, and today we're out traveling both nationally and internationally, sharing the truths of the Word of God. Some of those truths are in this book. Other things that we talk about a lot is talking about the reality of the Holy Spirit as a person and how he helps us in life. So that's my story in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, went from Amish to born again, spirit-filled, word-believing, faith-talking, armor wearing child of the King.
Absolutely. So I look at it this way, that if I can get out of that rut that I was in, in that place that everybody thought I should be in, that lifestyle that I should be in, and be able to step into something that God had planned for me, I feel like that means that there are a lot of people out there that can do the same thing. I'm not an unusual person. I'm just a person that's willing to take a step when I know it's the will of God. And so we're just encouraging people with this book and with our ministry and with our teaching that God does have some plans for you and to look ahead with anticipation.
Praise God. And so tell us about your family.
Well, I'm married to the love of my life, Leah.
Miss Leah.
And I learned how to believe God, and we weren't, we had dated before, and then broke up and because I wasn't living for God, and she had told me not to come back till I started living for God.
Whoa.
Which was a great moment because that meant I needed to change. I didn't know what that meant. I thought I knew what that meant. I thought that meant being a Christian and being someone that had no fun, lived a life with very limited options. And so I really wasn't ready for that. And so we left for a season, but it was through learning the message of faith that I began to believe God for the relationship to be restored, at least for friendship. And lo and behold, we're now married many years now, and she's the love of my life. And I have three daughters, Christina Ann, and married to Matt, her husband Matt, and then my daughter Nicole, and she's married to her husband Gil, and then Audrey, who is not married, but works at Rhema in the accounting department. And so anyway, we have also three wonderful grandsons, Mason, Sam, and Ben, and they're just amazing guys, you know. It's just absolutely a joy to have them. Had them over the recently, and it was a great time.
Yeah, I always say grandchildren are life's great reward.
They are. They are. Tremendous.
So. And so you've written several books, and now you travel mostly full-time.
I do. I do. We do teach part-time at Rhema Bible College, and but we're on the road, and so, you know, we're doing what we believe God told us to do. At this season in life, we started, God began to deal with me about that in 2018, and I made it a matter of prayer over a period of time, and I didn't know how that could be possible, what I was hearing in my heart. God was putting on my heart, but I thought, man, I don't know how to do this. So I just being a matter of prayer. And one day, through a message that a certain minister preached, I got some revelation concerning some scripture. And so I began to listen to that message over and over and over again. And what was I doing? Renewing my mind and just getting my mind so renewed to the possibilities of doing what I'm doing today, that it drove out all the other thoughts that would be negative, doubtful, fearful. And so it took a number of times of listening to that message. Actually, in an 8-month period of time, I listened to that message 105 times.
Wow.
Because I watched my speaking and I watched the way I conducted myself, and any time that I said things that were contrary to what I felt in my heart, I thought to myself, Marvin, you have not yet reached the level of thinking that God wants you to be at. And I watched the way I acted. I watched my attitudes. If I didn't have expectant attitudes and things of that nature, I'd just tell myself, Marvin, go back and listen some more. You haven't got it yet like you need it. And so Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what that means is that you have to put it in there in abundance before it can come out in abundance. And so I had to put it in there until it affected my speaking and my conduct almost unconsciously. It became second nature. And then in 2020, when the country was shutting down because of pandemic, that was when God, believe it or not, told me, you go travel. And so we transitioned out during 2020 and began to travel. Immediately had doors open, even in the middle of the pandemic. And we've been going, we've just been very blessed with being able to travel and minister the Word of God. And there's finding all kinds of hungry people, hungry congregations that need the truth of God's Word. Even denominational churches that are responding. And so we could talk about all that. But anyway, so that's what we're doing. That's what we're finding. We were privileged to be in last year in Democratic Republic of Congo and also in the country of Brazil, The end of this month, I'm going to Greece, Albania, Thessaloniki, possibly Crete. So we're excited about that.
Well, that is a great segue into your book, the way you kind of, you had to renew your mind to God's plan for your life. And so you've written this book, Revolutionary Mindset. Tell us why you wrote it.
Well, I watched people, and of course, my life was a quest of stepping into more than what I grew up with. And I watched my dad, for example. He was a dairy farmer, happy with his cows, but his real dream was working with wood. And he was a lumber inspector out in Oregon at those big sawmills, planer mills, what they called them. And he loved doing that. And so he loved working with wood, but he was a dairy farmer in Kansas because he needed money to pay the bills and to help raise a family. And so all those years I watched him talk once in a while about his dream job that he had, but now he's doing something else. And I said to myself, and as I grew up and watched people, I watched a lot of people that are doing things to pay the bills or take care of a family, which is noble, but it's far less than what was in their heart. And they don't know how to make the transition from just doing paying the bills and all of that to actually entering into their dream that they have in their heart. And so I found myself in the same way. And so I began to do some studying the Bible, and found a verse in the third epistle of John, one chapter there, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers." And I began to study that verse and realized that although God may have plans for our lives and there may be dreams in our heart, actually, our soul does have, the condition of our soul does have some effect upon what we will actually experience in life. And so that began a journey of learning how to deal with things in my soul. And so the book is kind of, part of my story is woven into it, but looking at a lot of other people as well. And I just know that, believe that there's a lot of people out there that could use some help getting unstuck, getting from existing in life, taking care of things in life, to actually experiencing dreams.
Yeah, because our own mental and emotional barriers are what get us stuck. But to me, that's very hopeful because we can get ourselves unstuck.
Yes. There are people I've met that blame their boss for their problems, or their spouse, unfortunately, or their kids, or their environment, or their community, or their neighbor. And they would say, if it wasn't for them,
yeah,
then I could. But I would like to submit that, and I found this to be true in my own life, that my biggest problem and most people's biggest problem is between their two ears. And so before people that are listening to this get too upset about that, I want to encourage you. That means that your problem is within reach to fix it.
Yes, you can do something about it.
Yes, because you're not going to change your boss.
Right.
Probably not going to change your neighbors or your spouse. And I don't know of one person that can change the whole community or economy around them. But you can change yourself. And that will help you to rise up into what God has for you.
Yeah, you have this quote at the very beginning in your introduction, "Obstacles can be conquered, for they are as big as they will ever get, and we can overcome them because we can keep on growing." And you say that you learned this when you were climbing the Rocky Mountains.
I was. The first time I was traveling and got to Denver, Colorado, and I looked out of those mountains, and I had a couple of days off, and so I thought, I'm going to go to the mountains. Well, I went up to the mountains, had no idea what it'd be like. I had actually, not that high anyway, I had actually been and driven through the Smoky Mountains and some other mountains and so forth, but nothing like this. And so I got up there on this high mountain on top, and I looked out, and it just felt like I'm going to fall off this mountain, and I won't stop falling for a long time. And so I got myself back off that mountain as fast as I could, shut my door in the and locked myself in the motel room and pulled the drapes so I couldn't see the mountains that night. The next morning I woke up and I thought to myself, Marvin, you have a choice. You can either spend the day, the next couple of days, in your motel room, in the motel room, and spend the rest of your life wondering what life would be like if I didn't go and conquer this. And so what I did is I checked out of my motel room and said, I don't know where I'm going to end up today, but I know one thing. I'm going to go to the mountains and I'm going to stay there until I'm comfortable at a higher level, a higher altitude than I am right now. And there were some things I needed to learn. And so I did. I spent time there until I was okay. And I learned that people live differently at different altitudes in the natural. And there's different ways of doing things and different ways of thinking. So what works on maybe the plains of Kansas doesn't work in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And so I began to see why some people are not comfortable at higher levels or moving up to another level or entering into a new season. There's fear to deal with. There's the unknown. There's the doubts. There's the people that will line up and tell you, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You're crazy if you try that. All of that. And so there are lots of reasons why people, and you know, some people are just are absolutely happy where they're at. But even those people have things that they hope to see and hope will come to pass, even when they're happy in their current circumstances. So this is a book that gives hope to people. Really, I wrote the book to help people get unstuck. But I think it speaks to people, encourages people, no matter what you're facing and no matter how happy your life is. And so I think it'll be some really good truths in there.
Well, because God is always moving forward. He's always increasing us, wanting us to move up. But we have a part, is basically,
is that right?
This is like an instruction manual for our part.
Absolutely. God's will is not automatic. There is a participation required on our part. And our part, based on this verse that I was looking at, that God led me to in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Well, there are a lot of people I see that are out there today, both secular and Christian, that are pursuing health and wealth with everything they've got. And I don't see as many people pursuing changing the condition of their soul. And so making sure that their mind, their will, and their emotions are doing well. And yet, according to this verse, our life actually will reflect the condition of our soul, and actually to the degree that we deal with our mind and will and emotions, we will experience what God has for us. God may have great plans for us, but unless we get our thoughts lined up, our emotions under control, and our will conformed to God's will, aligned to His will, then we may be limited in what we actually experience.
Listeners, we're talking today with author, teacher, itinerant minister Marvin Yoder about his book, Revolutionary Mindset. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, he's going to tell us a life-changing equation that you don't want to miss.
I'm David Warren, here with some exciting news for Oasis listeners. We have a new mobile device app. It's free, easy to download, and lets you enjoy our refreshing music and talk everywhere you go. If you have an Android cell phone, go to the Google Play Store. And if you have an iPhone or iPad, visit the Apple Store and search for Oasis Radio Network. be an Oasis ambassador, and share this news with family and friends around the world.
This is The Road Show. I'm your host, Karen Jensen Salisbury, and I'm excited today to be talking with Marvin Yoder about his book, Revolutionary Mindset. And I mentioned in the last segment, Marvin, that you're going to give us the life-changing equation, which you say, thank goodness, it takes the mystery out of operating in prosperity, health, increase, whatever God has planned for us. What is that life-changing equation?
Well, it's found in 3 John 2. And I might say this, that I'm going to give you this statement before I enter into that. And that is this, that we want to experience everything within the framework of God's will. We don't want to pursue something outside of His will.
Right.
And so with that being said, 3 John 2 tells us this, that our condition of our soul is what actually determines the level of health and prosperity that we will experience in life. Now, the word prosperity, I'll just tell you this real quickly, is not just referring about money, because there are people today that you know and I know that have lots of money, but they're not following God at all. They don't even know what God's will is. So it can't be referring to that. So it's much more than that. Actually, in the Greek, it means to do well on a journey. And it reflects the Apostle John actually wishing Gaius, a man, on his actual journey that he was taking and doing well there and being prosperous and successful. And so that's how God wants us to do. He wants us to be successful and prosperous in that way. And so here's the deal. If the condition of my soul does not reflect the plans that God has for us, guess which direction we'll go? We'll end up going the way of the condition of our soul. Our thoughts or our emotions or our will sabotage our progress or our attempts to follow what God has planned for us. Years ago, I talked to a young man in a restaurant, didn't tell him I was a preacher, and he was back in the day when they still smoked cigarettes in a restaurant. Remember those days? And so he's smoking his cigarettes, and I struck up a conversation with him, found out that he's doing the wildlife and living with his girlfriend and all of that and everything. And then finally he got around to this question. He asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. And his conversation changed instantly. And he began to talk differently. He said, I used to go to church with grandma. And he said, I felt like in my early life that God spoke to me to be an evangelist.
Wow.
And so I looked at him, and my question to him was, what are you doing about it? And he looked kind of taken back by that question. But here's a man who felt like he knew God's will in his heart, but he's living anyway but that. And I thought to myself, why is that? And I realized when I read 3 John 2, it's because of the condition of his soul, the thoughts that he entertained in his mind, the imaginations, all of that, the emotional desires, what he wanted. And so those were the things that actually determined what he was experiencing. So here's what I know is that our health and prosperity actually that we actually experience in life is governed by the condition of our soul. And secondly, in our heart, we may know the will of God for our life, but the condition of our soul will determine what we will actually experience in life. And then thirdly, we can know a truth in our heart, but if we're not convinced of it in our soul, in our thinking, we will not operate in it, because the soul is where the decisions of life are made. So this is the key thing. And so God began to explain this verse to me as an equation. He said there are two equal sides here. There is the condition of the soul side and the prosperity and health side. And he said, that's an equation. He said, if you change the condition of your soul, the prosperity and health will also change, because you will allow that in your life. You're allowing those things to happen in your life. You're embracing those things. You're open to those things now, where before you were actually unconsciously working against it. And so even though it sounds good, if our thinking's not there, we will find ways to excuse ourselves from it. And so this is the equation. And I've been, when I realized that, I began to intentionally put some things to work in my life. And I'll tell you, time and again, that's what we've done. And we've, every season, ever since we learned this, every time that we learned about the condition of our soul, when God spoke something to my heart, or I saw something that I felt like we were supposed to do, I would always check first and say, okay, what's my thought life about that? Where are my emotions on that? Where's my will on that? Do I need to keep praying, not my will, but yours be done, Lord, over and over until I'm actually consecrated to God's will, to doing God's will? And so I have to, that's my job. And then God's job is to bring the increase.
Yeah, I find it so hopeful because we are in charge of renewing our mind. We are in charge
Absolutely.
Of strengthening our soul. So Absolutely. Nothing is hopeless.
That's exactly right. It's yeah. really, really true. I see people that don't know how to move from where they are to what God wants them to do. And I was there.
Sure.
Years ago, we lived in a house that was so ugly. We didn't take any pictures of it.
I know
we
you
have
said
no
that.
Pictures of it.
It was so
it
ugly.
Was, it was really ugly. We moved into it with the landlord promising lots of things, none of which happened. And so we ended up. But the problem was that I had trouble at that time believing I could live in something better. And so I had to learn to renew my... It was while I was living in the ugly house that I found these principles, and because I was desperate. And my family wasn't being adequately dressed like we needed to. We didn't have a lot of things, and we were going nowhere fast, and our needs weren't being met. And so... And so I began to pray. The Lord led me to that scripture. And then he led me to buy a particular message, series of messages by an individual. And somebody always asks, what was that? Well, it really doesn't matter. It's important that you find what speaks to your need. And you begin to renew your mind to that. And so I began to renew my mind to what I needed in those messages. And I kept hearing them over and over and over again, month after month after month, in my vehicle as I drove. And without telling anyone other than my wife, things began to change and began to change and began to change. And it was in those days, while I was living in that ugly house, that God spoke to me about coming to work at Rhema. Thank God that I had learned some of these principles, because that was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Going from an ugly house to working at Rhema. And so I had to get busy renewing my mind, accepting that. And I did a lot of that through praying. I would pray and hear from God and encouragement from God and spend time praying. And, of course, you know that prayer allows God to work in your life, going out ahead of us and opening the way for us. And so over a period of time, we did end up moving to and began to work at Rhema as the assistant dean at the school. And that was because we learned these principles, and we learned how to pray and believe for God's will to come to pass. But it started with changing our thinking.
Yep, and we can do that. Here's something I underlined. If we change our thought life, it becomes the beginning of changing the world we live in. And that means our constant thoughts and meditations will create the atmosphere around us in which we live. When we water our constant thoughts with our imagination and add faith and hard work, we will often see the reality of those thoughts in our life.
Absolutely. Thoughts are the beginning. It's not the only thing. But it is often the catalyst or the precursor to the other things, the actions that we need to take, things we need to pursue. And so I've watched people who never deal with their thought life, And when some big opportunity comes along, I've seen many people. I've even done it myself in years past. Hopefully I'm not doing it now. where there's a big opportunity comes along, and they began to excuse themselves from it instead of embracing and saying, I don't know how I'm going to do on this, but, you know, like when Miss Karen asked me to be on the road show here, you know, that's a new thought for me. I thought, okay, let's do it, you know. Or I could have drawn back and said, oh, I don't know. Well, see, that's where people are. That's where people live. And so many times that's what holds people back. And so it's important that we take care of our thought life.
Yes, and it does take effort. You know, you mentioned at one point in the book that some people are willing to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a vehicle that decreases in value and eventually wears out, but they won't spend a couple hundred dollars to go to a seminar or maybe purchase materials that'll increase them. So it does, obviously, it takes effort on our part.
It takes effort. It takes commitment. It takes a perseverance, because in the journey like this, I'm going to tell you up front that changing your thinking to be where God really wants you to be is going to take, it's a great journey, but there are going to be a number of times when you fall down in your attempts to walk in that. And we have to encourage ourselves and be willing to get back up and try again. It doesn't always go the way we want it to go. Life is full of things that are beyond our control, and we have to be willing to come back to God and say, okay, God, I blew that one. I want to try again. Please help me. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He helps us. He is so faithful. Helping us, guiding us and directing us. That's a whole nother story, but the fact that when we commit to do our part of changing the condition of our soul, we are joined with the Holy Spirit helping us. We don't even have to do it alone.
Thank God.
He helps us. He changes us. And so he knows how to go in there and put new things in. And when we read something, and man, that's wow, it's great. It's awesome. I really like this. Well, while we're rejoicing in that truth, the Holy Spirit's busy working that inside of us and writing it on the tablets of our heart, as Paul said. And then faith comes, and then we're able to use our faith to take hold of what God has for us.
Yeah. Chapter 2 is called The Key to a New Life, and you're talking about how we have to be selective in our thoughts. So maybe somebody's listening and thinking, that all sounds really good, but I just keep having these wrong thoughts. How do we be selective? How do we recognize a bad thought, and what do we do when we recognize it?
Well, here's a verse for you to begin with on that, and that is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And it simply says, finally, brethren and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Or as some other versions say, think on these things. And so literally, Paul gives us a list of approved thoughts that help us. In other words, we get a glimpse into his life and we see how he thought. And of course, you know, he was a great achiever and a greatest missionary probably that ever lived. And so this is a little insight into his way of thinking that enabled him, allowed him to move with God in spite of tremendously negative, difficult circumstances and persecution. He was able to keep moving forward. That's why at midnight hour, locked in prison, feet in the stocks, and he was able to pray and praise God. It wasn't because suddenly God moved on him supernaturally to do that. It's because he was cultivating a certain way of thinking for a long period of time. And even when he got into negative circumstances, he continued to think that way. So how do we choose? How do we choose? Well, we need to know what the Bible says is good for us. And then here's how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 5, I think it is. It talks about pulling down strongholds and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and taking captive every thought. So there's three levels of action in our soul: thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds. And we know this. There are many thoughts that go through people's minds in a day's time, thousands. But we must begin to choose which ones we will retain, or to hold on to them long enough to allow them to become imaginations. Thoughts held on to become imaginations, and imaginations entertain eventually become strongholds in our soul, in our thinking, in the way that we make decisions. And so attitudes that are so difficult to change sometimes. Look, I mean, you ever tried changing an attitude, Miss Karen? I'm telling you, you have to work at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't just go away in one day. It doesn't even seem to listen to the name of Jesus at all. But, you know, an attitude is something that's built a little at a time. And so one day I was reflecting on that, and the Lord began to minister to me that our soul is a castle. It's our castle. And he said, castles are built one stone at a time. Stones become walls, and walls become castles. Mm. And he said, in the same way, our condition of our soul, the strongholds, the attitudes we have, start with a thought, and then thoughts become imaginations, and then imaginations become a stronghold. So it takes some time. One of the things that I love is the miraculous, supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, where in an instant you see something happen. I love those moments. Most of life, however, is not like that. And so many times we want God to fix something. We take a trip to the altar. We say a prayer and say, okay, God, fix that. And so one of the things I discovered is that the changing the condition of our soul is a process. And if you want to change the way you think, change your emotions, change your will, that is a process that happens over a period of time more and more. You can make progress in that area. Some days it'll feel like that, and some days it won't feel like that, but yet you keep inputting the right things, you are going to be able to change. So one of the great things that I learned was, okay, when it's a spiritual thing, I'm going to expect God to move, and I want something instantly from God. I believe I can receive it. When it comes to the things of the soul, I'm going to take the Word of God. I'm going to take those truths and expect the Holy Spirit to help me. As I began to renew my mind day after day, hearing it over and over and over again, what am I doing? Building a mindset that matches the level or season that God wants me to be at, so that when I get there, I'm not going to sabotage it, but I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm not going to not know what to do. I'm going to be able to function and operate in that successfully and be able to do what God tells us to do. So it's selective thinking is very important.
Yes. Listeners, we're talking today with Marvin Yoder about his book, Revolutionary Mindset. And Marvin, how can we get a hold of the book?
Well, you can get it. Go to Amazon and look for Revolutionary Mindset by Marvin Yoder, or you can go to our website, marvinyoder.org, or you can go to, Faith and Flame website. They have it. Christian Books got it. You can go to there, christianbooks.com.
All right.
And so, number of places.
Great. So, we're going to take a break. Stay with us for more of Marvin Yoder.
I'm David Warren, Program Director at Oasis Radio Network and one of the hosts of this podcast. All of our hosts enjoy hearing from you, our listening family, so drop us a note. Our email address is roadshow@oasisnetwork.org. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and you'll receive new episodes on your mobile devices. And now, back to the show.
It's a great day on the road show. I'm your host, Karen Jensen Salisbury. We've been talking with author, teacher, itinerant minister Marvin Yoder about his book, Revolutionary Mindset, The subtitle is Renew the Mind, Step into a New Season, and Experience Success. The book comes in three sections, three parts: discovering the key to a new life, defining the human soul within us, and developing our soul for the next level. Marvin, there's so many great things in this book we're not going to be able to get to today. People are just going to have to get it and read it for themselves. But I did want you to talk about emotions, because everybody has them, and sometimes they rule us. So talk about emotions in relation to renewing our mind.
Well, bear in mind that God created us with emotions. And some people think emotions are the main thing. They let them rule, their emotions rule everything. The opposite end of that is where people become, take a rather stoic approach where they deny their emotions any right to express themselves, and they just seem to be the same all the time. And yet God created us with emotions, so emotions in themselves are not bad. It enables us to express great joy or sadness as the occasion may demand, sorrow or happiness, gives us a range of expressions. And the key is to know what the emotions are, what they're for, and to learn how to control them and align them so that with what God wants, so that our emotions don't sabotage us, our progress in life. Many people live with damaged emotions because of things that have happened. One man I talked to who was in a battle with all the other soldiers in his platoon, and for some reason he didn't go that one day, and all those when this platoon went out, I think he was sick or something, and so they all got killed.
Wow.
And so he lived with the guilt of that all his life, depression, all of that, not almost non-functional. Yeah, because of that, I know of another lady, her husband passed away, and 15, 20 years later, one day she asked us if she could take us to lunch. So we said yes. It was a good a friend. And so we went to lunch, and on the way home she said, "Can I stop at the graveside?" And she, where my husband's buried. And so she parked there and began to cry. She said, "I come here every day."
Oh.
And I cry. Locked into a certain emotional state about things that have happened. I know of another man that never got married because of the awful abuse and conflict that he saw in his parents' marriage. Obviously, emotionally damaged. And so we need to realize that emotions are powerful. We are most easily moved in the area of our emotions and affections. And those two areas of our life become targets for the enemy. He loves to hit us at our most vulnerable moment part, and that is our emotions. And so we have to find ways to control that. I remember the first time I preached, I did not control my emotions very well. And there were two gentlemen that took it upon themselves to tell me what they thought afterwards. Very negative, no future for ministry, blah, 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 all of that. And I went home, and I wasn't mad at those guys so much as I was upset with my emotions that seemed to sabotage the truth that I knew I needed to communicate. So I did something. I didn't know what else to do. I just took authority over the devil, said, "You will not use my emotions anymore in Jesus' name." And then every time that I had those emotions want to rise up, when they came to the surface, when they manifested, I would say to the Lord, I said, "Lord, here I am. I have a need, and I'm asking you to touch those emotions while they're right here at the surface where you can deal with them." And I look at our emotions like silver. And so the refining of silver is where it's heated in the fire, and then the dross is removed from the top. And then the purity level is tested, and if it's at the level they want, they leave it. But if it's not at that level, then they reheat it,
and
take more dross off and test it again. And that process continues until they get the purity level that they want. It's the same way with our emotions. From time to time, here's what people think. Okay, I prayed, God touched me. Okay, my emotions are good. And then they get confused because later on their emotions rise up again. Well, it's nothing more than another opportunity to let God take the dross off the top and leave us more purified. So we ask God, we acknowledge our need, we affirm that God can help us, and then we ask Him, saying, please help us, touch my emotions right now while it's right here in Jesus' name. And so does that mean it's totally fixed? Probably not. In other words, it's a process. Again, it's our soul. It's a process. So there are many times, you know this as well as I do, Miss Karen, you've gone through things, I've gone through things where we have to deal with our emotions, the passing of a loved one. I remember when my youngest brother passed away from cancer, and I'm really angry. I prayed my best prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And he died.
Yeah.
And I was mad at people who thought it was God's will, and realized later on it was the enemy behind that brought sickness, disease, and all of that. He was a good Christian man. I know he's just the Lord. I led him to the Lord years ago, but I had to learn to let God minister to my emotions in that time of loss. Over and over again until I'm okay with it now. And so that's a process. And so sometimes that through the season of grief,
yeah,
we have to let God take us through that process of emotions, getting them ready. Finding things that minister to our emotions is very important. The Word of God, praise and worship music, getting into worship, nature is a great thing that will help us restore our soul, lead us beside still waters and green pastures, you know, and restore our soul. The other things are like hobbies and recreation, things that take us out of the break of the routine, you know, and doing things that like that. There are a number of things. Humor can help us. And so I intentionally live with lots of humor because it helps me emotionally. So how will you respond to what you're going through? Well, I can tell you that the Bible can help you. Jesus knows how to touch your life.
He understands.
He understands.
Yeah.
He really does. He really does. He has experienced everything that you'll ever experience. He's gone to from the highest level of life to the lowest level of life. There's not a level of life or a season in life that you enter into that He's not already been there. And He knows how you feel. Not only that, He not only knows how you feel, but He is also touched by the feelings of your infirmity. In other words, the things you're going through, He is touched by those things, those weaknesses, those things that want to overwhelm you, those things that want to govern your life, things you don't feel like you can ever get free from. I'm telling you, Jesus knows how you feel, and He said, come to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. Why? Because He's there. He wants you to come, and He will touch your life. And I know that it'll be a great blessing to you.
Yes. Well, a lot in the book you talk about how we can build for increase. What do you kind of want to leave us with today as far as building for increase?
Well, I can tell you this, that any increase starts with a thought. Every level of life, every vocation, every season starts with certain thoughts. Every level has its own thoughts. Every realm has its own thoughts. The medical field has its own vocabulary. Same way with lots of other. Lawyers have their own vocabulary. And Christians have their own vocabulary as well, based on the Bible, hopefully. And so every realm has its own thoughts. So the way that I want to go is find the thoughts that are there in the realm I want to go to and start building them in my life. And then as I do that, I can be able to embrace and be ready as God moves in my life. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations. Make the desolate cities inhabited. It's a promise to Israel. It's a promise to the church. And it's a promise to you and me as individual Christians. And that God wants to take us into some things we've never experienced. But we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to enlarge our thinking. We're going to have to not spare effort in stretching out to reach that. We're going to have to lengthen our cords or our ideas. And we have to strengthen ourselves with the thoughts of God's word so that we can stand in times of adversity. And I know as we do, when we start doing those kind of things, I know God can move us forward in his plan.
And we can all do that.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Listeners, we've been talking today with Marvin Yoder about his book, Revolutionary Mindset. You can get the book anywhere that Christian books are sold or on his website, marvinyoder.org. And so, Marvin, as we leave today, would you pray for our listeners?
I certainly will. You may be facing some things, and so I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I ask that you touch these listeners now in the areas that they've been dealing with, the difficulties, the crises, the hardships, whatever it might be. Help them to get out of the rut by showing them the truth of your word. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you minister to them where they're at. Encourage their hearts and minds today that it is possible for them to move forward, to have some change in their life, to experience the dream in their heart. And I thank you now as these people begin their life that they are able to move forward by your help and by your strength and your power in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we declare that today is not a life sentence with God. God wants us to move to the next level or season in our life.
Amen, amen. And so the book again is called Revolutionary Mindset. Marvin wrote it to renew your mind, step into a new season, experience success. Marvin, thanks again so much for being on the Roadshow today.
Thank you so much for letting me be here. It's a great privilege to be here.
Listeners, thank you for being with us today. On behalf of the Oasis Network, this is Karen Jensen Salisbury with my special guest, Marvin Yoder, saying thanks for listening today. It's been another great Roadshow.
You've been listening to The Roadshow. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address. The Roadshow, P.O. Box 1924, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. Our email address is roadshow@oasisnetwork.org. The views of today's guest aren't necessarily those of this station, but we do appreciate and thank our guest for spending this time with us. The Roadshow, an Oasis Network presentation.